Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start in verse 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found certain man named Ananias, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Arise, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he rose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay coming to them. Then Peter arose went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed. Turned to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave his her hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word is truth, your word is enlightening, your word is power, because you stand behind it. We pray this morning, Lord, that you give us hearts that would receive what your Spirit would teach, minister, and strengthen in our lives. Bless this time, Father, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Peter. It's amazing. Peter. How he's being used by God. Did you notice he said, "Tabitha, arise"? Well, remember, Jesus said, "Talikokumi, arise," which means arise. It's kind of the same wording except Tabitha in place. Tabitha kumi. Talitha kumi. It's interesting. Did something jar in Peter's mind? But still the thought is Peter? Really? God's using Peter. Now, we've been seeing that God has been using Peter. But still, if you step back, you can think to yourself and say, come on, Peter? Peter, who is the one who basically, instead of been looking at you, instead, what was he doing? He was sinking in the water. Peter, when he was speaking, he should be listening. Peter, who was boastful, he should have been humble. Peter, when he denied you 3 times in a fire he had no business being in front of. Peter, he should have been at the foot of the cross. Instead, he carried his own cross into his own self-pity. Peter? Peter, who should have been at the tomb. Instead, he was hiding. Peter? Peter. Yes, Peter. See, we have to understand something. We all have to understand something. God loves, and I mean he loves, taking those things which are broken and discarded and using them for his glory. If you this morning feel like an outcast, that you're miserable, that there's no way God can use you, then you better listen up. You're definitely, perfectly the person God wants to use. He's in that business. Remember 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You struggling this morning? God's going to use you. You're wondering what God can do with you? Oh, trust me. When you create and you are sovereign and you are almighty and nothing's too hard for you, then really the amazing thing is just to watch, to wait, be ready. But in saying all that too, is there something else we have to take note of? Is that we're all called into the ministry, every single one of us. You do know that, right? Understand, ministry means service. Minister means servants. We always think, okay, the guy up front, he's the minister, he's the servant. No, no, no. You're all called into the ministry. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body. You, we all are part of the ministry. Thing is so many of us step back and say, no, that's for the professionals or the charismatic or the gifted ones or whatever. No, if you're thinking that, again, you're missing the point. You're definitely the person God wants to use. Are you open? Are we open? Now, we're going to learn, actually, if you will, several things from Peter in the ministry. Peter. It's interesting as we get into this. We'll see. Now, I want you to notice something. Let's go to verse 32. Now, it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country, he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man, Ananias. Now, what's the first thing we learn here? Very simple thing. Peter was on the move. He wasn't just sitting around. Peter was on the move looking for opportunities. It's the first thing. Now, again, you might step back and go, well, that's not for me. No, no, you're in the ministry. God is ready to use you. Are you ready to be used? And that's true with all of us. Because let's face it, when we leave these walls, now, you know what? The salt must be salty. The light must shine. We must be ready. Moving. Ready for opportunities for the Lord to use us. Look again, verse 33. Certain man, Ananias, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed. Then he rose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, before we get to the next point, I want you to take notice of this, parents. A miracle, wouldn't it be? For you actually to say to your teenager, arise and make up your bed. You're chuckling, but it's true. A simple miracle. Well, let's get serious. Understand something that he said, Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. For us to understand the ministry, we have to settle down and see this as it is. Peter understood the ministry was Jesus Christ's. He was just a conduit. It's for his power, his purpose, his name, his glory. In fact, that's what Jesus told his disciples. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. See, there's a rest in that, a peace. What is it? It's not about you. It's your weakness, yeah, but it's his strength. Your sufficiency, as Paul learned, is in Christ. That he likes to take us when we're weak so he can make us strong. So again, who gets the glory? Who gets the praise? Who gets the honor? Peter understood this. It's Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ. Look at verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Now, me in my juvenile mind always comes to that name, Dorcas, and give a little chuckle. Who would name their kid Dorcas? But it's the Greek word for... Oh, you would, Brooke? Is that what you're saying? Brooke's going, sounds like a good name. I can see it now. People suggesting names for my daughter's kid. Dorcas would be a good one. But it's what it means. It means gazelle. It's what Tabitha means. Tabitha, we've heard several times. It means gazelle. But notice something. Here's Joppa is about 10 miles away. Understand that. Now look at verse 37. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. Now, understand something again. Why was she important? We'll talk about that in a minute. But to get to Joppa in a hurry, it depends on how they were traveling. You're looking at 2 to 4 hours. And like I said, 2 hours is if they were on something that was moving. They were walking 4 hours at a fast pace. How long has she been dead? Has she been dead half a day? Then Peter coming to Joppa, or coming to Lydda, how far that was? Again, 2 to 4 hours. She's been dead for a while. But notice, Peter arose and went. Peter could have said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. A woman named Dorcas died. And she's not an apostle. She's nobody significant. And you want me to what? Did I mention I'm Peter? Now you want me to go with you in the hot sun, which I'm fine here. Joppa's by the beach, by the way. Sitting here by the beach. Just enjoying my time, and you want me to walk all this way for a lady. Did I mention I'm Peter? I'm a busy guy. That's not what we read. Notice he went with them. What does that tell us? Peter was available, but also he was adventuresome. Available and adventuresome. I'm available, Lord. Well, Peter could have done anything here, but you know what? The lady was dead for several hours, a full day, if you would. And yet he was like, let's go. I don't know what God's going to do. Let's go. I'm available. Even if it seems impossible, Lord, here am I. I'll do whatever you ask. I believe in the impossible. Please remember this. There's nothing too big or too small for prayer. We'll talk about that in a second, too. Always expect the unexpected. Always believe in the impossible. For did I mention that God is the God of the possible? Always. So it's to be available. You never know what God's going to do. I never know what God's going to do. But let's see what he's going to do. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's make ourselves available like Peter. Now look at the rest of verse 39. Again, Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Who was this lady? Again, she was an apostle. They're weeping, though. She wasn't a Bible teacher, as far as we know. She wasn't a deaconess, again, as far as we know. She wasn't a conference teacher. She wasn't one of those names that you would see and highlight. No, what was her ministry? She sewed. That was her gift. What were the widows doing? They were weeping for her. What does that tell you and me? First of all, foremost, no ministry is too small. No gift is insignificant. Everybody, using the gifts that God has given them, glorify God. Now, I'm thankful about something, because I know something about you all, most of you, that when you're having car troubles, and who doesn't, you don't pray, you don't call me or Caleb. Say, hey, get the elders together. Bring some oil. We want you to come and anoint our vehicle. Pray over it. Pray that there's a new motor in it all of a sudden. That God would do a miracle. Now, can he do that? Of course he can. Will he do it? Probably not. Now you're saying you're contradicting yourself. No, I'm not. Who do we know has the gift of fixing cars? It's a gift. We go to Michael. Michael. Something's going on with my car. It's going chikim-pakum, chikim-pakum. And then he goes, are you sure it's doing that? Or is it going kunk, 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 kunk? No, I'm pretty sure it's chikapum, chikapum. And he goes, oh, well, it's a kukakum. I don't know what it is. But what do? He goes and he looks at it. He fixes it. Why? That's his gift. It's not small. I'm blessed by it. I hope you are. I'm blessed by the different gifts you have. Just think if we could all sing like Selah. How would that sound? Well, beautiful, yes. Or that we can all play like the worship band. We'd all be up there. Who'd be out here? We all have different gifts, different talents. You are uniquely and wonderfully made, and God is the one that wants to use you. Use me. Not just here in front of a pulpit. If I do that, I limit God. No, the world's out there. I too must be just like you. I must be on the move looking for opportunities. I too must understand that the ministry is Jesus Christ. It's just not in this building. I too must be available and adventuresome. God, whatever you desire, I'm ready. Whatever you want, here am I. Send me. But notice again verse 40 now. But Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed. Peter was prayerful. How important it is to pray. You don't know what God's going to do. Peter didn't know what God was going to do. Was this God's will? I don't know, but let's see. What was the prayer? I don't know. But I can guess it was something like, Lord, you can do all things. You know the love that these people have for Dorcas, and you know the ministry that you've given her here. Lord, if it's in your will, I pray that you would bring her back to life. But according to your will, he knew only God could do the amazing. But listen to this. God does the amazing through the ordinary, and that's you and me. For his purpose, his glory, his name. Not for us to shine and say, wow, look at us. We have ministry of healing. No. But we are a church of the possibility. And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about God moving. And I hope you still come in here with an anticipation. What is God going to do today? What's God going to teach me? How's God going to inhabit my praises this morning? Who can I encourage? Who's going to encourage me? Waiting and ready for God to move. And I hope that you still have that in your heart when you come here. Now again, go back to verse 40. Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Peter was fruitful. Now, this is a tough one. Because fruitful can mean so many different things with God. Fruitful can mean that Peter did what he was obedient to do, or called to do. Being available, ready to be used. However that is. Sometimes we just sow seed. Sometimes we just mentor to one person. Can you tell me the names of the ones that led Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, Spurgeon to faith? No, you can't. But that's part of their fruit. It's amazing how everything's tied. You know, the redwood forest, they're very tall trees. They're humongous. And I recommend if you ever get the chance to go see the redwoods, they're giants. The 400 feet, man. And they're all standing tall. Think about that. 400 feet. That's an amazing tall building, if you will. 400 feet. Now, you would think those roots go down deep. Because when the Pacific storms come in, those suckers still stand tall and true. But you want to know something? Their roots are very shallow. Which makes you think, how do they stand? All those trees' roots are connected, each one to each other. The base is all of them together, unified. And the storms, oh, they can blow, but there those redwoods stand firm, and those are very old trees. You and I stand together because of a Christ. That's the sure foundation. But again, you know what? The strength is in the unity of the body. We know that. It encourages us. It keeps us together. But know something else, too, is that we sometimes sow seed and we don't see the fruit. But God knows and sees the ramifications of anything and everything you do. Even when you do something for somebody, when you know it was God's will to do it, and nothing came of it that you saw. Instead of thinking, oh, that was a waste of time, remember this. God is the one that's in charge of time. God's the one that's in charge of growth. God calls each of us just to be ministers and servants to those around us, to be the light, to be the salt, to be the sower, and to trust too that sometimes we're the water. We come and water the seed, but God's the one that causes the growth. We all, again, just like it says in Ephesians 2:10, been called to serve. As each one received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each one of us. Or like it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now that can also stretch our minds a little even further. Do you know that God has a calling for you? God's chosen you to be His servant. And remember, His burden is light. Desires for all of us to come and yoke up with Him. And that's no yoke. And that's a bad pastor's joke. Last part. Look at verse 43. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the Tanner. Period. No, not period. Simon was a tanner. What does that mean? He dealt with skins and hides. What does that mean? He dealt with dead animals. To a Jew, this was unclean. This was horrible. In fact, a tanner, he couldn't even live in town. He had to live outside of town. Why? Because he was unclean. But Peter, who came from a Jewish heritage, was being stretched here. He was staying in Joppa with the tanner. In fact, again, tanners were such, well, I won't say despised, but still thought of as unclean. It was said that in the rabbinical law that if a woman discovered, as she was betrothed to a man, that she found out that man was a tanner, she legally can divorce the guy without even, again, going through the ceremony. You're what? A tanner? You deal with tanner stuff? I want nothing to do with you. You and your stinking dead animals. That's what it was thought of. Again, we have Peter staying with a tanner. Now, it's true. It's by the beach. Was this the best place for him to stay? Simon must have been a lover of Jesus. So, what was it? Was it the best place for him to stay? Was it the only place for him to stay? But it tells us something about Peter here, which is something we all have to take heed to. Peter was flexible. He was in Joppa. Maybe it was the only place he could stay. It's with the tanner. Roof over my head. Lord, if this is where you want me to stay, I'll stay. Even though I have to deal with the smell. Ministry is an interesting thing, and I mean ministry for you too, of serving somebody. You never know what's going to happen. Circumstances can change rapidly. Things can change. That's just the way it is. Relationships change. People change. We, hopefully, change for the better. Being transformed in Christ. Not being conformed to this world, being transformed. Changed. Flexible. Ready. Ready to be used. Ready at any moment. Understanding that all things must glorify Him. Be prayerful. Be ready. Be flexible. Be prayerful. God wants to use you. Just as Peter. There's a saying in the church that I was, if you will, really grew in. It was, blessed are the flexible. Now, Caleb knows this. And some of you probably never were aware of it. There are many, many times when we start a service, we have to be flexible. In fact, I should change that. You too. This is the summer months. We never know where we're going to meet in the building. We know we're going to meet, but we don't know where. Some of it's kind of inconvenient. But you know what? We're flexible. Because we understand something. It's not necessarily the room that we're in. It's we in the room together, worshiping Christ. So, again, let's go over it really quickly. So what are the six things that we just spoke of? Number one, Peter was on the move looking for opportunities. Number two, Peter understood the ministry was Jesus Christ, not his. Number three, Peter was available and adventuresome. Number four, Peter was prayerful. Number five, Peter was fruitful. Number six, Peter was flexible. Flexible. Number seven, addition. It's when you take a number and you add one. In school nowadays, I don't think they teach that anymore. Is again, ministry is for you. Each one of us. Let's pray. Father, just thank you again for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for again, your word is truth. Pray as we've gone into your word that we would take it to heart. Knowing this, Lord, that apart from you, we can do nothing. But Lord, I also pray that we all understand that you have called each of us into your service. Help us to use the gifts that you have given to us, Lord, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others, for the glory of your name and your purpose. Help us also to see that the ministry is adventuresome. It can be exciting. It can be very hard. It can be times of dryness. It can be times of it seems like there's no fruit bearing. But Lord, it's also a ministry of understanding that it is your ministry. So Lord, you are the farmer. You are the one in charge. You are the one in control of growth. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in what you've called each of us to do. And Lord, if we don't know what that is, then help us again to understand that we need to seek and pray and ask. Lord, what is it that you desire for me to do? And sometimes, Lord, I understand that it means just daily, every day waking up saying, Lord, it's another day of an opportunity to serve you in whatever capacity you desire. I am your servant. Help me to be open and flexible and ready, available for your use. Lord, and help me to pray through the day, trusting that you will bear the fruit that you desire in and through me. Bless, Lord, I pray, this body as we continue to learn more about you and your grace and your love for us. But I pray also, Lord, help us to grow. Help us to grow spiritually so we may understand, Lord, not only the calling you have on our lives, but also to see and understand the fruitfulness and the need for workers and laborers in the field. For truly the harvest is ready. Help us also remember that it's also not being all Billy Grahams and D.L. Moody's or street evangelists. Maybe it's just sowing something for somebody, caring for somebody, maybe just giving them a meal. Whatever capacity you see fit, Lord, help us to be open. Help us to be yielding. Help us to be obedient. So, Lord, we just thank you again for this morning. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for the time in your word. Thank you for your spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.